professors from Florida.
Good evening. I hope you're all well. Kodesh Tov. Please join me in saying the Ana Bekoach. Ana Bekoach. Gedula Chemincha. Tati. Terura. Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. The gematria of these six letters is 506, the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, which translates as unconditional love. Not Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Kra, Satan. These words translate as tear up the Satan, tear up the negative force. They also can be rearranged to spell two other Hebrew words, Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates, and it's a reminder to put guards on our gates, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, which is the entry point to the negative forces. Na gibor doshe yechudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalad yud kaf shin. Nun gimel dalad has a gematria of 57, which is the same gematria as the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasa or sustenance. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that we utilize to take back the energy that we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Sitkatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Tzadi Taf Gimel. This sequence of letters connects us to the Sphira of Netzach, which connects us to eternal victory. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adatach Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayin. This sequence of letters connects us to the Sphira of Hod. Hod connects us to the consciousness of appreciation, of thank you. Thank you for all the goodness in our lives, and ultimately recognizing that what we perceive as negative, as harsh, as harmful, as painful, is also good, in that it allows us to cleanse so that we can receive more of the goodness from Hashem. יחיד גאה למך פני זוכרי קדושתך. יוד גימול למד, פי זיין קוף. This sequence we utilize to speed up the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah in this, the sixth millennium. We also utilize it to connect to the two letters connected to the month of Sivan, which starts tonight. The two letters are the Resh and the Zion. The Resh, which is the letter that created the planet Mercury, which is known in Hebrew as Kohav, Kaf Vav Kaf Bet. Kaf Vav is the gematria of 26, is the tetragrammaton. It's the sharing aspect, the spiritual worlds. Kaf Bet is the gematria of 22, the physical worlds. Excuse me, the physical letters, the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, connecting us to the physical world. The planet Mercury connects us to the unity between the spiritual and the physical. This is the Resh, which is also the poorness. The word Resh means poor, but with different vowels, it's the word Rosh, which means head. Again, connecting us to the unity between fulfillment and lack. The Zion, which is the letter that created the constellation Tuamim, which is, means twins. The twins, which most people in Western astrology connect to the consciousness of the physical twins, two identical twins being born in the world. But the twins in the Hebrew astrology connects us to the spiritual level of ourselves, connecting to the physical level of ourselves. The gematria of the two letters, Resh and Zion, is 207. 207 is also the gematria of the Hebrew word Or, which means light. Kabbalists always talk in terms of Hashem being light, light being the nature of fulfillment. This is the energy of the month of Sivan, of the twins, the unity of our spiritual and physical selves, the level of communication, the level of love. Shavatenu kabel ushma tiyakatenu yodea talumot chinkufav tariyutav. These six letters, the first two letters have a gematria of 400. The last four letters have a gematria of 506. Together they represent the perfection of the four worlds in their perfected state of 10 Sephirot within 10 Sephirot. That's the 400. The 506 is unconditional love, Ahavatinam, just as the first verse connected us to that. And it teaches us that the process, the creative process, must start with love and complete itself with love. and love in each and every step of the four phases of the creative process. And the last line we say in a whisper, which we refer to as silently, a whisper that can only be heard by ourselves and not someone standing right next to us. Before I start reading from the Zohar tonight, does anybody have any questions? The Zohar is relatively short for the Parasha of Bamidbar, which means the desert. The first section is titled The Counting and the Reckoning, and that is essentially the first part of the Parasha of Bamidbar. Each of the 12 tribes is counted, is given a number. And we learn in this process that when things are counted, they are limited. And by being limited, the fulfillment is not able to stay. It's not able to be there. The light does not rest on something that is limited, which is why we have the halakhot of not counting people and counting with other mechanisms. Typically in the desert was the half shekel contribution. In a minyan, it's various verses of Tehillim or Mishle that have 10 words. In other places, while it's not recommended, they will use the words of the Sfirot to count to 10 or multiples of 10. Again, with the consciousness that the Sfirot is so overwhelmingly large that it still can handle. It's not being limited by the counting, but it is, and it's not recommended to do that. Reading verse 1. And this is the first time that I've been doing this class where I'm reading a section that I have read before, because during this week, since it's such a short section of in Bamidbar, I was able to complete it earlier than today, and therefore I have read this first section. And I'm not sure how that will change what I say tonight, having read it before, but it's always good to reread the Chumash. We do it every year. We reread it every Saturday. And over the course of the year, we reread all of the Chumash, all of the five books of Moses, which some say are seven books of Moses. And we reread this year after year. The same is true of the Zohar, which is considered by the academics as a commentary on the Chumash. But it's really the soul of the Chumash, the inner essence, explaining what the codes in the Torah actually are saying. Vayihi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kananeh aleinu maaseh yadeinu kananehu. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'yohel moed v'gomer Rabbi Abba patach v'yivra Elohim et ha'adam b'tzalmo v'gomer Haikira itmar tachatzi b'sha'ata Divarach ucha b'rifu le'adam aved le'i Badiyuk nadi la'e Vetata e Vahava Kali Umikola Vahava Nehore Nahir Nisi Saefe Alma Ad Saefe Alma Vahavo Dechalin Tame Kola. And Hashem spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tent of meeting. Rabbi Abba opened the discussion with, so Elohim created man in his own image. We have learned of this verse, come and see. At the time the Holy One, blessed be He, created the man, He made him in the image of the upper beings and the lower beings, and he was a combination of all. His light illuminated from one end of the world to the other end of the world, and everyone feared him. We all have heard the verse that God created man in his own image. But the Creator has no physical form. So what does this sentence mean? What does this verse mean? What is God's own image? And one of the interpretations, one of the essences, is talking about the man, the form of man, has a representation of the tree of life, of the ten sphirot. There is the Keter, which is the skull, and the Chachma and Bina, which is the two parts of the brain, or the Keter is the head, and the two parts of the brain being the internal, Chachma and Bina. Chesed is the right arm, Gevura is the left arm. Tiferet is the body between the neck and the diaphragm. Netzach is just below the diaphragm on the right side, down to the knee. Hod, the same on the left side of the body. Yesod, representing both the spine and the sexual organs. Because after all, the consciousness of sexuality originates in the glands in the brain and flows down through the spine and manifests in the sexual organs. And Malchut, which is the legs below the knee, down to the feet. But there's another way of understanding the image of God and man being created in that image, and that's in the levels of the four worlds, the upper worlds and the lower worlds. And before the sin, man was able to be in all worlds at the same instant. Not like our limited world today. And that's really what this verse is starting to talk about. Verse 2. V'ya'agideha ukmuha it le'istakla be'behaikira v'yivra Elohim et ha'adam b'tzalmo. Betzelem Elohim bara oto, kevan diamar betzalmo, my betzelem Elohim bara oto, elav adai terein, targin diklilan, dekar venukba, chad lidkar vechad lenukba. And though it was settled, we must look into this verse. So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim, he created him. Since it already said his image, why repeat again in the image of Elohim he created him? He answers, there were two levels in the man, since he was composed of male and female. Therefore, there is one for the male, that is, so Elohim created, and one for female, that is, in the image of Elohim, he created him. On its surface, this verse is very clear. But there's images that are created from these words. Was the man and the woman created at the same time? That's not quite our understanding, because later on it talks about a sleep falling over Adam and Eve being created. But then there are Midrashim that talk about an earlier woman before Eve. And then there is the consciousness, and clearly in the Zohar in many places, it says when it uses the word Adam, and it's translated as man, it means man and woman together, in unity. On the same level, not one over the other. Either way, they are in unity. And elsewhere in the Zohar, it explains that man and women were created together at the same instant, back to back. Now, that's another form. It provides another image in our mind, back to back. What does that term mean? Rabbi Ashlag is very clear in his study of the Ten Luminous Emanations, and he repeats himself on this subject repeatedly. Do not understand these words as physical. Don't use the images that these words create in your mind as physical. These words are describing spiritual effects, spiritual actions, spiritual causes. What does it mean back to back? In our physical world, if I am speaking to you face to face, you hear me much more clearly and much more communication, much more direct communication than if I turn around and speak to you with my back facing you. And even more so if you turn around and we are now back to back, how is our communication affected by that relationship? Verse 3. Ugin kachdu partzufin Havo v'dai v'seifa dikra okach diktiv zakar unkaiva bara otam v'kalil hava mitren sitrin v'aagi denukba achidat v'sitro hahi name kalila mitren sitrin l'mechave Shalim Bekola. And as a result of this, there were assuredly two faces, male and female. And the end of the verse proves it, since it is written, male and female, he created them. And he was composed of both aspects. Although the female was attached to his side, she on her own was also composed of two sides, which are chesed and judgment, to be complete in all. This is a perfect example of how our images, when we allow these words to manifest as images in our mind, they were created side to side. And she was created with two sides, as was he created with two sides. And in our mind, we visualize two people, a man and a woman, standing next to each other, joined at the hip, perhaps, or maybe the shoulder. But they both had two sides. And then this verse truly clarifies it. It's not visualizing, as I just said, because we don't visualize physically. We understand two sides means two energy. The energy of mercy or chesed and the energy of gevura, of judgment. And how these two energies are different, are separated, and somehow connected, somehow balanced. But within the two, the male and the female, there's really four. There's two levels of chesed and two levels of gevura. But they're all equal. So there's only two. And am I making myself not clear and seems like a paradox? That's exactly what it is. Behava mistakal behachmeta le'ela vetata kevan disaroch itmatu partsufin behachmeta istalakat mine vilahava mistakal elam bile de gufe levatar oli benin me ila e vetata e vela ija shavu da veda bialma ad leolid bar umine ashtil alma de ikre shet veha upuha. And he used to observe with wisdom up and down. Because he sinned, these faces diminished. The wisdom disappeared from him, and he was only concerned with his own bodily matters. And afterwards he begot sons from above and below. That is, Abel was from the upper aspects, and Cain from the lower. And neither of them inhabited the earth, since none of them left any descendants in the world. Then he fathered a son, namely Seth, and from him the world was planted. This has been explained. I do not understand this verse. I do understand what it's saying about Cain and Abel, that they were not born in the earth or on the earth, that they were conceived and manifested as spiritual beings. This was done after the sin. They were born on Shabbat. But later in the Torah, it says that Cain built a city and named it after his firstborn, Chanoch. Now, I'm probably one of the few people who have connect that verse, because it connects to my name. And there is another Chanoch, the seventh generation, Chanoch ben Yared. But Cain, after he killed his brother, and goes through what he goes through as part of his life, builds a city. Rabbi Bar Sadak explains that that city is the code word for technology. And he named it after his son, his firstborn, Chanoch. And there's a whole range of understandings of what the meaning of Chanoch is. It's both education, concealed wisdom of Hashem. There are many, many levels, which is written on my website. But here the verse is saying that Cain did not have a son. But the way to understand this is he did not have a son on the physical earth. He had sons in various levels, the other seven earths, the other six earths, that are described in chapter 6 of Bereshit, the one that talks about the giants, the one that talks about other entities, the ones that were fathered by Adam in the 130 years he was separated from Eve, as if it was her fault that Cain killed Abel, which is the implication in some of the Midrashim. This verse is very profound, and we really do not have the time to speak about it in all its aspects. Rabbi Ashlag commented that Abel was from the upper aspects and Cain from the lower. What is the upper aspects? That's the consciousness of the Rosh, of the head. What is the lower? The body, the goof. Moshe Rabbeinu was a reincarnation of Hevel. Ultimately, Rabbi Akiva was a reincarnation of Cain. And yet it says that Cain, or Rabbi Akiva, was a higher soul than even Moshe Rabbeinu. It's difficult to understand this verse. Verse 5. Akadalma tata la ishtalim vila hava shalim vila ishtakach v'kiyume adiata Avraham v'itkayam alma aval la ishtalim Ad Ivraham Ishtakach Baby Alma Vyachid Baby Mina Kiman Diachid Vimine Lema Andina Feel Ata Yitzhak Vyachid Bide Vyalma Bishmala Vyit Kayam Yatir Kevan Diata Yaakov Achid be'em sa'ita begufa, v'it kalil bitrein sitrin, it kayam alma, v'lach hava mitmotet. In spite of all this, the world below was not finished and complete and was not sustained on its own until Abraham came along. The world was sustained but not completed until Abraham was present in the world and held on to the world with his right hand, that is chesed, as one who holds and assists the right hand of someone who fell. Isaac came along and held the world's hand with the left hand, that is gevurah, and the world was sustained even more. When Jacob came along, he held on to the center, with the body, that is the central column, and became included in both sides, the right and the left, and the world stood firm and did not collapse. Our sages write this in the Talmud. This verse is clear on its surface, but what is it truly saying? What are the codes involved? Is not really clear. What it's saying is the world is not complete without right, left, and central. That chesed on its own cannot stand. It is incomplete. Givurah on its own is incomplete. And chesed and givurah together, while stronger than either one separately, are still not complete until they merge, until they balance each other, until the creation of the centrality Now, in our physical world, we can take two different entities, two different consciousness, and put them together. We can freeze one end of a stick, and we can burn the other end of the stick. Physically, we can put them together, but spiritually, they don't really go together. In the physical world, we can put them together, and we can call this freezing, burning stick the central column. But God, Hashem, in essence, is the two spiritual aspects together in unity. He is the central column as a creation, not as something put together, but something that is truly unified. And this is one of the clear understanding differences between the human being, who is like the stone, as the Talmud says, that has been cut from the mountain. What is the difference between the stone and the mountain? One is smaller, but they're the same essence. Hashem is not a human being. A human being is not Hashem, but may strive to become Hashem. And that perfection is being in the central column, having the consciousness of mercy, of loving kindness, which is chesed, and the consciousness of Gevurah, and actually putting them together, balancing them in one state of mind, which is a seeking of mercy, a seeking of justice, which is not judgment. If I have confused you, I apologize. But this section of the Zohar is really quite deep. As we have learned, the adage is less is more, and this section of the Zohar on Bamidbar is less. It's quite small. It's only 48 pages. Some of the books are more than one volume, more than 400, 500 pages. This is one of the smaller ones. Less is more. Verse 6. Ve'im kolda la'ashtil b'shar sho'ad yolid tiresar shevatin b'shavin nafshan ve'ashtil alma ve'akad la'ishtalim ad kabilu Yisrael o'raita petura desinai ve'it kam mashkena Kedain it kayamu almin peishtalimu veit pesamu ilain vetatain. And with all this, the world was not properly planted with its roots until Jacob begot 12 tribes and 70 persons, and the world was planted. Even so, it was not completed until the time Israel received the Torah and the tabernacle was erected. At that time, the worlds could exist and were completed, and higher and lower beings were scented. What does it mean, scented? I really don't know what it means, scented. I've never read anything that talks about the consciousness of scented. What is the meaning of this word? We've talked about sweetening judgment, and perhaps this is a similar code. the upper and lower beings, the upper and lower worlds, were transformed and changed and elevated slightly, which is the idea in my mind of what is scented. Because our sense of smell goes from bottom up. A scent goes into our nose and then is transferred to our brain, interpreted by our brain. There's an elevation involved. Kevan diolaita umashkina ito kamu pa'aku chabari hulamiv kad halo diolaita kamachayalin inun diolaita kamachayalin inun demashkina tachatzi kol mila diva eleit yashva Baduk teila mit yashva adit kar befuma fit meneala of hakaba kuchabari hulamivkad hayalin dioraita the hayalin numa demashkina the kulhu havokehad villa mit parsheda minda Kolake gavna dileila Dehaoraita umashkina Lamit parshe daminda Yazlin kachada. Since the Torah and the tabernacle were erected, namely Zeron Pin and Malchut, the Holy One, blessed be He, wanted to count the troops of the Torah. How many legions are there in the Torah, in Zeron Pin? How many hosts are in the tabernacle, which is Malchut? This means that he wanted to count Israel, who are the legions of Zeron Pin and Malchut. Come and see, every item that needs to be settled in its place, that is to link properly the branch below to its root on top, does not settle until it is uttered by mouth and is counted. Here also the Holy One, blessed be He, wanted to count the soldiers of the Torah and the soldiers of the tabernacle in order to tie Israel to their roots above, which are Zeron Pin and Malchut, called Torah and Tabernacle. And they are all united and are inseparable from each other. Everything is in a likeness of above, since their roots, the Torah and Tabernacle, are joined and inseparable from each other, and are in unison. You think you understand this verse? And I hope you do. Torah. Excuse me, Torah is a code word for Zeron Pin. Tabernacle is a code word for Malchut. These two are never separated. It may appear that they're separated, but that's an illusion. We talk in terms of the Vav becoming separated from the Hay. And that's what the sin of Adam accomplished. But it's an illusion. The Vav represents this consciousness of lack. But only when the consciousness manifests as lack. When you're aware that you lack something you had before, does Malchut, the fourth phase, come into being? This verse is talking about the relationship between phase 3 and phase 4. was fulfillment, then it went away. And then there was a consciousness that I had fulfillment and I've lost it. I want it back. I yearn for it. This is the creation of desire, which is ultimately the phrase yesh miayin, something from nothing. Hashem counted the children of Israel. He counted the males. And in so doing, he counted the females. When he counted the males, he connected them to their root above. That connection never separates. That connection is always there. We can utilize that connection by reading the Torah and hearing the Torah. We can utilize these numbers connecting ourselves to ourselves, our self in the physical world, to ourself, our higher selves in the spiritual worlds. Cause and effect. The spiritual causes the physical. The counting connects the physical to the spiritual. Something to consider. Verse 8. This first section does not end until verse 20, and we are almost through with our time. So we obviously will not complete this section, and for that I apologize, because my commentary was too long. So I'm not sure what's more important, my commentary or finishing a section. And somehow I leave that for you to let me know for the future whether you want me to continue to comment in this much detail, or if you just like to condense with the energy of the Zohar more and more. Verse 8. Uvgin kachaya lechon alin bechoshpana lishtaboda kabaihu bari nunacharanin delet lon hashva bana uvgin kachkati vadaber Hashem el Moshe b'mid bar Sinai b'yohel moed I b'yohel moed amai b'mid bar Sinai ela had leoraita v'chad lemashkina. Therefore Israel, who are the legions of Zeranpin and Malchut, are counted so that they are known, in addition to the others who have no number, namely the women and those younger than 20 years. Therefore it is written, and Hashem spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tent of meeting. If it is in the tent of meeting, why is it required to mention that it was in the wilderness of Sinai, since it is known that the tent of meeting was in no other place except in the wilderness of Sinai? He replies, once is for the Torah, namely Zeranpin, and once is for the tabernacle, that is Malchut. You read this and you don't realize that it is just explained to you. That these code words of Zeranpin and Malchut, Torah and Tabernacle, is explaining why the verse starts Bamidbar, the wilderness of Sinai, and the Tent of Meeting. By saying both, the wilderness of Sinai represents Zeron Pin. The Tent of Meeting represents Malchut. Or is it in reverse? It could be, I'm not sure. Because Sinai represents, the wilderness represents, the desert represents the consciousness of no fulfillment, of complete lack, which is Malchut. And the Tent of Meeting is where the Shekhinah, the fulfillment, manifested, or the unity manifested. So the Torah is Zeron Pin, the tabernacle is Malchut, so the Tent of Meeting housed the tabernacle. The Torah was given at Sinai, Zeron Pin. So my first perception was correct. But you can see how it is easily, how easy it is to become confused. This is why it is best to have a teacher, even if that teacher is not someone physical. Verse 9. V'hai v'hai be'echad l'chodesh ha'sheni v'shana ha'shenit v'kol ha'chad v'hayikre chodesh ziv remez l'hahu yarcha v'shata d'nahir l'sichara d'ha'kedein almin kulhu ishtachahu bishlimu l'tzeitam eretz mitzrayim l'ishtamod'ah d'ha'kad nafku Yisrael Mamitraim Bahodesh Harishon Hava. And both Torah and Tabernacle were on the first day of the second month in the second year. That is the secret of Givurah and the illumination of Hakma of the left. Since the month of Nisan is the right column, and Chesed and Iyar is the left column in Gevurah, and all is one. That is, the right and the left were joined in harmony as one. This month is also called the month of Ziv, the month of light, the month of brightness, alluding to the month and year that is luminous to the moon, that is Malchut, since the main perfection of Malchut is from the left column. The secret of the second month and the second year. At that time, all the worlds are whole, like Malchut, that is their root, after they were come out of the land of Egypt. The scripture informs us here that when Israel left Egypt, it was the first month, that is to say, they went out from the aspect of the first month, which is Chesed, and the right column, and then they were perfected, also from the aspect of the second month, which is Givurah and the left column. All of this information is in these first few verses, and we read them, most of us read them as a story, as information. We needed to know that it was given in the wilderness of Sinai, in the second month of the second year, on the first day of the month. Did we really need to know that? This verse in the Zohar is explaining why we needed to know that. That the second month and the second year was connecting us and perfecting our relationship to the energy of Gevurah. And the first of the month connects us to the relationship of the totality of unity that is represented by the idea of the first day, of one day. Verse 10, Rabbi Yitzhak Patach, Ha Hashem zakaranu, yivarech yivarech et beit avigomer. Hashem zakaranu, yivarech ilein guvrin dehavo. Alin bechush bana, bemad bera, bekut shabarichu, mevarech lon viosif, alai hu bekol zimna. Rabbi Yitzchak began the discussion with Hashem has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house. A verse from Tehillim, chapter 115. Hashem has been mindful of us. He will bless us. Refers to the men who were included in the count of the desert, who the Holy One, blessed be He, blesses, and to whom He adds more each time. When we count, we limit. When we bless, we expand and fulfill. For Hashem, who is the central column, in the counting is the fulfilling, something that's very difficult for us to understand. And I'm going to stop right here. Does anyone have any questions? I wish you Kodesh Tov. I wish you a wonderful holiday of Shavuot coming next Tuesday night. I highly recommend that you stay up all night and study. On my website, under the Counting of the Omer page, which is www.yeshem.com, /Omer, O-M-E-R, .htm. On that page, the last link is day 50. And no, I don't suggest that you open it up on the holiday of day 50, but that you open it up on the day of the 49th, and that you print out the list of verses and the order and seder of the connection to the idea, what we are to stay up and study all night. Because the Ari represents, informs, and recommends that by staying up all night on the night of Shavuot, studying the order that is presented on that page, that restriction, that limitation on our body will cause us to have a chaos-free life until at least Rosh Hashanah. And some read his writings as saying for the whole year, until the next Pesach. In either case, it's highly recommended that we stay up all night. Whatever you have to do to achieve that. Kodesh Tov, have a beautiful month of Sivan, the month of twins, the month of connecting your spiritual level to your physical level, the month of communicating between your spiritual level and your physical level, the month of Quicksilver, the month of Mercury. Shabbat Shalom. Have a beautiful month, a beautiful week, a beautiful Shabbat. Kodesh